Path Pod listeners, welcome to Positive Approaches to Health, the podcast. Today you have over there in Columbus, my buddy.
Jenny Pitcher.
I miss Jay.
Hello, hello.
And over here in Campbell, California, I'm here, Tony Toledo, and we are on yet another leg of our road trip, Positive Approaches to Health. And this time we're heading back to a place we've been, geez, Jenny, I don't know, almost 10 times at least, huh?
Yeah, we go there quite frequently. Yeah, well,
we go there a lot on the pod. We go there a lot. It's just a favorite spot. And some people actually have a state of mind that is also this place. We're heading back to New York.
There you go.
And we are actually going back to visit a friend who we've had on the pod before as well. So this is, we're like double, triple, quadruple dipping on this one.
We sure are.
Because a trip was warranted. We had our guest on a couple years ago, I believe, and we're big, big fans of her work. And then, of course, she came out with an incredible cookbook that was the reason behind this second visit. And never disappoints this lady. So I'm going to have Jenny do a quick bio, but we are New York City bound on this leg of the pod. Jen, you want to do a bio, a quick bio on our friend?
Sure. So you guys know Natalie Rizzo. She was on the pod back in 2021, and we call her Nat. So her mission is to help everyday athletes fuel their fitness with plants. She truly believes that everyone can benefit from eating more plants, especially those who are serious about their sport. So whether you're running a marathon, attempting your first 5K, or spinning every other day, you will benefit from incorporating sports nutrition principles into your routine. And her goal is to teach you how to use science-based sports nutrition techniques to feel and perform at your best. She actually changed careers and became a registered dietitian because she had a passion for healthy food and wanted to learn more about how food makes you feel. She's always been an avid exerciser, but before becoming a registered dietitian, she didn't pay much attention to sports nutrition. She ate healthy, but she didn't think about how the foods that she ate affected her overall performance. And then once she learned that, you know, magical equation, she realized that she was sabotaging her own fitness routine because she wasn't eating enough to energize her throughout her workouts. Sorry. And so she became a sports dietitian and learned that food is fuel and that what you put in your body is as much a factor in your athletic endeavors as your physical fitness. And so she believes that no athlete can go the distance without knowing how to fuel, recover, and properly hydrate. Now she's a marathon runner, a longtime vegetarian, and so she's really dedicated to helping folks learn how to fuel their bodies with plants. She's also a mom of two little people, and she's just an all-around little ball of energy and really smart, gifted dietitian. So we are excited to have Nat Rizzo on the show with us.
Yeah, she is smart. She is gifted. And if you haven't heard the previous pod with her, it'd be a great double feature, you know, to go back and listen to that and then come and just roll around in the joy that is her book, Planted Performance, Easy Plant-Based Recipes, Meal Plans, and Nutrition for All Athletes. And that is the little, I would say her third little baby, right? Because she's got two
books
in this book. But she is very gifted, and I think you'll enjoy listening to her in this conversation and feel inspired and learn quite a bit. But let's do this. I know we like to start off with our little GIVE platform, you know, the acronym. Jenny, what do you have before we head into the interview?
So I have, for G, I have generate, or maybe even generative is a better word, but you know, that fuel, you know, you're generating energy. And so that made me think of that, you know, just that plant-based fuel that she talks about so much and what we need, to support our movement. And then the other G I have is gold, because this is just like gold. This book is a resource, and a very, a very important resource for those, you know, trying to figure out that formula for how to perform at your best, but yet doing it with plants. And so I don't know, it just came to me. I have indebted, which is kind of a weird word, but meaning the meaning of it to be accountable to someone, you know, because I think what made me think of this is not the book so much, but during our conversation, she was talking about, you know, right after she had her second baby, I believe, or maybe, no, it was her first. She signed up for, you know, a race to hold her accountable to her movement. And I thought, what a great strategy, you know. So that kind of jumped out at me. And then for V, I have vegan veggies, you know, all the veg, all of that, which is just really lazy of me, but also versatile because I feel like, you know, just like we talked about.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
You know, this is versatile because like we were saying, you can, you know, use different veg and that kind of thing. And then for E, I have easy because I think a lot of her recipes are super easy, but so good and eye-opening, you know, because this may open your eyes to a different strategy or technique or veg that you just haven't tried before. So those are my gifts.
That's hilarious. So I'm going to show you this. I don't know if you can see my little notes. I put them in my phone. I've got Nat Rizzo in my notes section, and it says G, grit and gifted.
Oh, yeah.
So grit and gifted. And I think gift is perfect because you know what? I'm sure listeners could lovely gift option for the holidays or just someone in your life.
Yeah, I gifted it to my nephew. Yeah.
I must have gifted mine to someone because I can't find it. So it's out there. I, impactful and inspiring. Mm. Those are straightforward.
Yeah.
And then V, I don't know if you can see this, Miss Jenny, but it says veg, a bunch of veg. And then next to it, it says vast and versatile. So we're on the same page.
We are.
E, effortless, back to your easy thing. Energetic, which we talked about earlier. And then the last E I have is earnest because, and I love that you picked indebted, Jenny, because I think that's another word that when you step away from it and, you know, we both love words, right? But words, I could swim in a word bath all day, every day. Mm-hmm. I love words. And the fact that you took indebted and sort of looked at it that way is amazing. And it's perfect. I'm actually writing an accountability class for my private practice. I was writing it this morning. And one of the things in there is this small group activity where you're exploring sort of who you're accountable to and why and what that does for you and, you know, just things like that. So I love that you picked that. But earnest sticks with me too because she is someone who, and, you know, authentic would be maybe another way. She's so real. She's so down to earth. She shares the good, the bad, and the ugly of life. You know, she's very true. And for me, and I know for you, that's part of the reason why we adore her so much and are so proud of her because it's all, she shares the blood, sweat, and tears and everything. And we appreciate that.
Well, I think let's jump into it. I have a few things to say on the back end, I believe. Let's just jump in and hear about Nat and her third baby.
All right. Third baby book. We'll have a little wrap-up and a musical playlist on the back end, but enjoy our friend. We'll see you momentarily.
Miss Nat Rizzo, we feel so lucky to have you back on the show. You were with us for episode 79. I think it was back June 3rd, 2021. I almost said 2001. Wow, that would have been neat if we had a podcast then, huh, Tony? but we got to hear the really interesting story of how you ended up in the world of sports nutrition. But now you've written this amazing book, Planted Performance, Easy Plant-Based Recipes, Meal Plans, and Nutrition for All Athletes. Whew, It's a doozy too. It's beautiful. It's hardback. It's lovely. Both Tony and I have had so much fun going through this book. So what we want to know, and our listeners want to know, is what took you from this very successful private practice and this niche sports nutrition world and all the incredible media work you do to this, writing this wonderful book? What was the impetus, or was it just like supposed to be the next step?
Well, thanks for having me on, first off. And yeah, it's really interesting because I don't remember if I talked about this last time, but I studied sports nutrition in grad school, and I've been a vegetarian for honestly longer than I've even been a runner. And it was just something that I did, and I didn't really even talk about much. And as I created a brand and started to grow it and started to talk to the people who were following me about why they were following me, they said because they wanted vegetarian info. And that was over 10 years ago. And now the term quote unquote plant-based has become super popular, but which is to my benefit, because not a lot of people are talking about what I always say is how to fuel your fitness with plants. So when I had the idea for this book, a lot of my business has always been media related. I actually don't do a lot of private practice. I see some clients, but not a ton. It's always been, I'm a freelance writer. I'm in the media. I do some TV stuff. So writing comes naturally to me. And when I had the idea for this book, I wasn't sure if it was going to be something that people wanted. But when I talked to a literary agent, they were able to sell it pretty much immediately, because turns out that it is something that people want to know more about when it comes to sports nutrition. That's kind of out there, but how do you do this on a plant-based diet, which is, you know, either vegetarian or vegan? So there is a need for it, and I know how to write, and I know how to create recipes, and I also photographed the whole book, which was a little bit insane. And I knew how to photograph, and yeah, it all came together.
Wow. That's impressive. Really impressive. Like I did not realize you photographed the whole thing.
Thank you. Yes. It's they asked me if I could, essentially. And I said, I can. And I always say it's insane now because it's way more work than you realize it's going to be. And also I did all of this while pregnant, which was just, that's another crazy aspect of it. But yeah, and it came out well. So that's the other thing, is that, of course, there's certain photos in there that I'm nitpicky about, but everyone that sees it thinks they look great. So I'm happy with it.
The baby and the book came out just perfect. So there
you
go.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well said. Well said, Jenny. It's true. And I'm sitting here. In fact, today I was laughing to myself right before I logged on. I'm like, I need a shirt that says, ask me about the vegan buffalo cauliflower bites. I just need a shirt because I have been spreading the word like it's a campaign. Like, it is crazy. I'm going to hold this up for Jenny. I know this was one of the recipes I said I was going to try. And we are addicted at my house. My 16-year-old daughter is out of her mind. She's like, Mom, these are better than what we get at Water Tower Kitchen, or, you know, like our favorite little boutique restaurant here in town. The name is great, Planted Performance. I just love it because obviously what is meant by those two words together, but I also feel like you did such a good job of situating the reader, and you can sort of plant into it as a reader and kind of get settled in a confident way and then get the skills. So even from a performance standpoint in the kitchen, I feel like you do it, Nat, you do that.
Well, thank you. And those buffalo cauliflower bites are my husband's favorite too. They're a little bit of a process to make because you got to like dip them and blah, 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 but they're really good and they're not fried. Most of the time when you get them at a restaurant, they're fried. So.
Oh, listen. And I just confessed to my workout buddies this morning because I need to confess to you that when I was doing them, when I was, you know, doing the milk wash and then dredging and then doing the flour, I had my doubts. I was like, I don't know. I really hope, because I'm going to talk to Nat about these. I really hope it works out. And all the way until they came out of the oven, and I was like, oh, we're golden. We are set. But it was that moment of like, I'm not sure. I got to trust her. I do. And there you go. They're favorites. I just had some leftovers for breakfast this morning.
Well, thank you. And it's a little nerve-wracking when you put your recipes out there that hope that they go well for other people and that other people like them. And I think one of the things that I do within this book and just within my own cooking is I don't make things too complicated. Like that's one of the ones that I'm like, it's a little bit of a process because it has like a few steps. But most of the stuff, one of the recipes that I make all the time that people have been commenting about is this chickpea smash wrap, which is literally just chickpeas, lemon juice, avocado, all smashed up, and it's in a wrap, and it's so simple, but all of my family members keep texting me pictures of them making it, which is really funny because it just, I mean, that's kind of how I cook. I'm not going to spend 2 hours baking bread or really doing anything that takes 2 hours.
Well, that leads me to where I was originally going to go with my next question, because I feel like we've somewhat already dipped into this, so to speak. But I would wonder what you feel the most important messages in this book are. I mean, I would assume after this short little conversation right here is that, you can do it. It doesn't have to be fussy, like you got this kind of thing. Because I feel like it's an undertone in the whole book. But overtones, what are the main things, those takeaways that you really are hoping that a reader gets, someone who buys this book gets from this experience?
I think with the book, it's geared towards athletes, right? So the majority of the recipes are just you can cook them and eat them for dinner or whatever, but there are a few chapters. There's one on carb loading, and then there's one on workout fuel. And the chapters are supposed to tell you when you should eat these recipes in relation to your workouts. So I think that that's kind of what I want people to get from it is like, if you eat this before a workout, you're good. If you eat this after a workout, you're good. And the things that are, for instance, I think one of the rest the chapters is nourishing lunches or something. They're well balanced. I made them so that they have the carbs that you need and the protein that you need. They're essentially made for an athlete to get the nutrients they need at that time of the day. So it's kind of takes the guesswork out of fueling yourself, and that's really the way that these recipes all came together, besides them being tasty and delicious and that kind of thing. So yeah, they're really for athletes in mind.
Well, I had pinpointed that, once I was done experimenting with the book and we had our interview today, that I was going to gift mine to my nephew because he is an athlete. I mean, he's a runner, he's a biker, he's just, just a great little athlete. And he's been trying to change his diet slowly. I wouldn't say, he's more just picky, I think, more than anything, but I think he's really interested in this kind of plant-based way of eating. So I'm excited to give it to him and see, how he uses it. But I just have to hold this up, not that our viewers can see or our listeners can see, but these were my absolute favorite, the raspberry oat bars, and I'm just going to go right into gushing because I've made these a couple times now. I love them because, first of all, and now that I have to go back into the office like one or two times a week, I may as well be packing for a trip to, Europe because it feels like that just to go into the office now after staying home for so long. And these are the best to just take in there. And then I could, once I get in, I can sit down, I have my little raspberry oat bars and I have my coffee and I'm the happiest little person. So they're so good. And they take a tiny bit of time, but it's not anything crazy because the crust and the topping are the same thing. And I love how, you made them do double duty there. So
Yeah, thank you. That's one of my faves. And it's funny because I'm not a baker at all. So that's what I struggled with. A few of the recipes I did multiple times. The key lime quick bread was another one because my husband loves key lime flavor. So I was determined to get that in the book, but I had to do it multiple times to get it right. And yeah, that one, and also everything, as per the publisher, they wanted vegan options for everything. So most of the recipes don't have any eggs. I think there's one or two. So that was like kind of tricky, but getting then when they
yeah.
finally turned out right, because I know that one uses almond butter too, which is like something you wouldn't think.
Right.
Yeah,
I
it's just
actually sent
really
it,
good.
I sent a picture of it to my brother too, because he has an egg allergy and I was like, you're gonna love this. So
Yeah.
yeah. The other one that is phenomenal is the sweet and sticky tofu. Like that, I mean, it's so versatile. You can use it in so many different ways. Like that thing, it's easy. It's not complicated at all. And, for people who, I know people are like, oh, I don't like tofu. No, it's so good, you guys. It's so good. So those
Thank
were
you.
my two favorite. And Tony and I were fighting over the key lime bread, actually.
Oh,
Like who got
yes.
to make it.
Yeah, you say key lime, and I'm in line as fast as possible because I don't know what it is about that flavor profile that I just light up like a Christmas tree. I cannot wait to try whatever it is with key lime. So that's on my list too. But these bad boys, the cauliflower tacos.
Yes, I had those yesterday. My mom makes them every week now, and I was
Oh.
there and she left. She had leftovers for me.
Unbelievable. And the thing I love about it, Nat, which it's funny because I work this medically tailored meals program, and it's down in Santa Cruz, California, where they've got like all these great organic, delicious plant-based items they prepare for the clients. And we have had a sweet potato cauliflower breakfast burrito that's been on the menu, and when that one comes around, we all lose our minds because it's so simple and so tasty. And also, what I love about it is that it's conceptual, because like yours here, cauliflower tacos with chipotle crema, you could, sorry, my cat's having a little party over here. You could plug and play with so many different ingredients, and I think that a lot of your recipes do that too. It's almost like, oh, here's something delicious that is a beautiful flavor profile, but you can take that and be inspired to do other things, which, as behavioral health people, that's what we want for our clients, our patients, our people, which I love that about this book too.
Oh, well, thank you. And I think that's the great part about plant-based eating. One, you can't undercook things, right? So there's no, like, you're not going to worry about this chicken sub in for steak. Am I doing it right? You could literally put in mushrooms in there instead of cauliflower, and it's like you could eat them raw if you wanted to. You could do whatever you want. And people always get tripped up with the plant-based thing about like I don't really get what to add together, but once you do get it's like the beauty of it.
Oh, totally. Like those particular tacos. I don't know what's going on with my cat. Sorry, girl. Like I would sub out, of course, broccoli, Romanesco. I would sub out Brussels sprouts. Like, I mean, it's so forgiving. Potatoes, like, and then the little pepitas you have on there, or maybe go adobo. I mean, like, you could just pico de gallo. Look at me. My mouth's watering already because it's just got all the pieces there. So that's one thing that I love about the book and had to gush about as well. Jenny, any other gush before we move along?
Well, it's funny. I know I'm going back to my raspberry bars like they're mine. But I mean, I'm thinking, yeah, you could do blueberry, you could do strawberry, like you could do different fruits and it would totally be, amazing. So one more I'll mention is the edamame rice bowl with the miso dressing. I'm always experimenting with different miso dressings because I love using miso. And this one was it's with the sesame oil and the soy sauce plus the maple syrup, a little bit of grated ginger. It's super easy, but it's so tasty and it would be good with so many different things. Again, the versatility like you're talking about, Tony. So that was a good one too. I loved it.
I appreciate you guys making so many of these. It makes me so happy.
We appreciate, the book and the recipes, and yeah,
Thank you.
it was fun. It was fun to go through. Here's the next question, Nat. Sorry. On any given week, which of these recipes in your book would we find in your fridge, your freezer, on your table? What are standbys for you? I know you've mentioned your mom makes those tacos, but are there ones that you go to again and again and again?
Yeah, so the chickpea smash wrap for sure. There's a really simple black bean quesadilla in there. And the reason I put it in there is because that's one of my go-to lunches almost like most days of the week, where I literally just put black beans in a tortilla with cheese and I fold it over and I put spinach and sriracha in it. And it's so simple. And then I do love the cauliflower tacos. I have been a bit nauseous. I'm 16 weeks pregnant right now. So the past 2 to 3 months have not been super nice to me. But before that, it was a lot of cauliflower tacos. So those, and then I'm a huge tempeh person, which I think is foreign to a lot of people. But I love tempeh. I actually like tempeh more than tofu, I think. I'm fine with tofu, obviously. I have to like tofu. I'm plant-based and I promote it. But so the tempeh gyros are really, really good. And I have a homemade tzatziki sauce in there that you use silken tofu, but you can also just buy tzatziki sauce if you're down with yogurt. So I kind of make those things a lot.
Oh my gosh. So the tempeh, you know, it's funny. I've noticed along with my cauliflower t-shirt that I should get that says try Nat's buffalo cauliflower is that I really find myself lobbying for tempeh lately. And part of that is that, you know, in my work, we're always looking for great sources of protein that are plant-based for our clients. And I find there is a friction, you know, that there is maybe an image problem or a texture thing, or people don't get past, which I think is actually a great quality of tempeh, is that sort of nutty, nubby characteristic. But it's, I think people see it as a barrier versus a quality that's really cool. So I know some people, I'm putting you on the spot here, but I know some people talk about that they find it kind of bitter. Do you have any little tricks for that? I mean, lime juice is something I use a lot, some citrus, but any hacks you have to...
Yes, that's a good point actually about the book. So within the book, there are certain pages that have pro tips on them. And I'm pretty sure that's on one of the tempeh recipes. The pro tip is if you steam it first, it gets rid of the bitterness. So I mean, it's an extra step, which the nice thing about tempeh is you can literally take it out of the package, chop it up, saute it in whatever sauce you want, like barbecue sauce or teriyaki, and have it within 5 minutes because it's cooked. And I think the texture is better than tofu because it's chewier or whatever, but the bitterness sometimes gets in the way of people. So you can steam it for 10 minutes first, and then that gets rid of the bitterness.
Oh, I love that. That's a great, great hack. Jenny, do you cook much with tempeh over there?
Every now and again, I do. Mm-hmm. I need to do more of it. Yeah.
Well, I feel like it's come such a long way. You know, I think that's the other thing with a lot of the things we're talking about, whether it's tofu or tempeh or, you know, you name it, even miso. When you mention miso, I think people like to put these things in a box and they freeze them where they maybe tried them, you know, years ago. And just so much has happened, so many cool innovations and way to use these products that are just, you know, phenomenal. So I don't know, it's fun. We could talk to you all day about all these little fun things, but what we would love to hear is if you had any fun stories, any fun anecdotes, or maybe even just feedback from readers since the book has been out, because there was a big fervor when it came out. It was very exciting. Just wondering what, if anything, you want to share from that angle.
It's mostly been friends and family who have reached out to me and sent me photos. And I get to send the book to some friends and family ahead of time. And some of the people I sent the book to are not the best cooks, and they still would send me photos of things they were making saying it tasted so delicious and it was pretty easy. And that to me is just so great, because I want people to realize that it's not as difficult to cook as you think. And of course, I know not everyone is cooking homemade meals every day and everything, but that's been kind of the best part, is just getting those photos of people enjoying things and knowing that, I mean, when you're writing a book, you're testing this in your own kitchen by yourself. You like it. Sometimes you do it multiple times. You hope that other people like it, but getting that feedback has really just been the best so far. So, and even hearing these stories of you guys taking the oat bars to work, that kind of stuff is the best. I don't have any like funny stories other than just the people who aren't great cooks, like whipping up these recipes.
That's awesome. Just to imagine that, because boy, is that a poignant, you know, image, or it's powerful, I should say. Before I let Jenny take the next question, I have to tell you one other thing that I did with the cauliflower.
Oh my God, even your cauliflower.
I swear, my stomach was so distended the other day because I probably ate 4 servings. It was like my whole dinner, because I didn't make room for anything else because I was so enjoying it. Anyhow, as leftovers, I took it and wrapped it in some garlic naan. And it was just, I mean, oh my God, I was like making sounds, you know, it was so good and so simple. And I was like, well, next time I might throw some, you know, microgreens in there. I mean, like, it's just a great base that's so flavorful. And I like that little vinegary, you know, little buff once in a while that I crave that little sensation in the back of my mouth, that vinegary thing. And so there's just so much happening there. So that may not be funny either, but I wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, no, actually, what is funny, when I created that recipe, you need Frank's Red Hot Sauce. You really do need this, like, one specific brand. And my husband was like, well, I don't get it. You can't just use any hot sauce. And I was like, no, this is the one. When you get anything buffalo flavored, it's like Frank's Red Hot Sauce. And he, like, didn't believe me until he tried it. And he was like, oh, yeah, this tastes like a buffalo thing.
That's funny. I wonder what is it about that particular hot sauce that makes it so... I feel
like
it's
like
to that.
the amount of vinegar. Mm. I don't know. Like, because I have a Trader Joe's by me, and sometimes you'll buy like knockoff stuff and it's not always the same.
Well, mm-hmm. I have gotten desperate. Well, actually, Frank's, I think, comes from your way, Jenny. I think it's originally from Cincinnati. I'm not.
It may 100%. Be, yeah.
But I got desperate once because I didn't have that. And so I went a little bit forager in my own fridge. And I'm not kidding. This is what I did. And I hope you're not upset that I'm going to tell you, but it was a desperation move because I had everything else but the Franks. So I took, I just was thinking in my head, how could I recreate something similar? Because I'm cooking up these babies tonight. So I had some sriracha. I had a Tabasco type, you know, like La Cholula or something, you know, like a basic red pepper sauce. I had, oh boy, what else did I have? Oh, I don't remember what the other thing was, but the kicker was I had a little bit of the Trader Joe's sweet chili sauce, and I felt like it needed something to make it a little bit more substantial. And so I added some of that in, and I'm stirring it around, and I was like, dang, I hope this doesn't ruin the whole thing. It didn't. It was still so delicious when I folded it in. It wasn't as good. That was the gold standard, the Franks. But believe me, it was delicious. And I thought, okay, well, you know, lesson learned, have my Franks. If not, this, you know, was something that speaks to, I think, maybe the how delicious the cauliflower is at on its own kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
That's funny.
Seriously, like it. A reality TV show alchemist. Move.
Yeah, right? Oh, I think it's great. So, listen, we know when you take on a big project, us with this podcast, you with this book, you learn a lot about yourself, right? What are a couple big takeaways that Nat learned about Nat?
I would say that I can be extremely organized when I need to be. So my publisher was great in that we made deadlines based on chapters, but I also had to start this. I started the book in August 2021. And then my son was born in December of 2021. So I had to put it on pause for 3 months and then finish it afterward. So before I even started it, I literally plotted out every single recipe I was going to make, like 3 recipes a day. I did it, I think, 2 to 3 days a week. And yeah, that was intense, but just doing that ahead of time made my life so much easier. I think if you don't do something like that, I don't know how you would even finish a cookbook. That would be insane. So just thinking I'm super organized. And then the other thing is, you know, when you test recipes, you have an idea in your mind of what you think it's going to be before you do it. Or at least this is how I do it. I kind of think, okay, like, I'm going to make a miso dressing. I think it's these ingredients, blah, blah, blah. And I'm pretty good with what I've done in the past. I think I understand plant-based flavors and how they kind of come together. So I don't have to change things too much when I'm testing them based off of what's in my head, unless it's something baked. I'm not a good baker. The dessert chapter was like, what am I going to do here? Which is why we have things like a watermelon sorbet, or I think I have a tropical chia seed pudding. Cause I was like, I can't do too many baked things here. I am not a baker. Anyone who is a baker, good for them. That like requires so much patience and also so much understanding of food science, which is like why an egg does what it does, that kind of stuff. And then I guess lastly is just, one of the struggles is, because I'm a vegetarian, so I do dairy and I do eggs occasionally. More so, I don't really eat those foods normally, but I'm fine if they're in things because I just don't want to make my life difficult. But you can figure out how to not use those things, and it's not as difficult as you think. Like, once you figure out a flax egg, once you use silken tofu instead of yogurt, there are vegan cheeses, but I always say they're terrible. Like, vegan cheese is not good. but you can make that stuff happen once you kind of learn how to do it.
I don't know if either of you follow the Korean vegan, but I feel like she makes vegan cheese look really good. I don't know how it tastes, but yeah.
Does she make it?
Yeah, she makes a lot of different things with vegan cheese. She makes a lot of, at least I've seen, like grilled cheese kind of things. And then she'll put like kimchi in it and that kind of thing. But yeah, it's interesting because I've never found a vegan cheese that I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, my husband is vegan actually. So we have a lot of discussions about vegan cheese and there's different bases for it. So if you find one that's nut based, like cashew based or almond based, it's way better than something that's coconut based. Because coconut has such a strong flavor that like it doesn't go away. You're eating a cheese and you're tasting a little bit of coconut. So that's kind of why I always say it's not great. And then there's some that are potato based. Like, I feel like I know way too much about vegan cheese, but it depends on what the source is. So that's my whole thing with it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I think, you know, back to just what you learned about yourself, I think just like, above all, probably just the like learning that you have capacity that you didn't know you had, I think is quite a nice like takeaway too. Cause I'm sure that's, you know, it's like, man, I'm pretty good at this. So I love it. I love that you were like, yep, organized, got it together, had a baby, no problem. I mean, it's amazing. Easy peasy.
Listen, I've got my third shirt now, and that is that there's hope for me to be organized, because when you said you have that like epiphany that you could be extremely organized, like I dream some days that I will be that person when I grow up, because I just don't know that it's in my cards, you know? So I guess you've given me a little hope, Nat. I feel like maybe someday.
I think when you have a project that like has a deadline, you can do it. But if it's never ending, sometimes it's like, I'll figure that out later. But yeah, no, my literary agent was like, I never have to really check in with you. And I was like, well, that's a dietitian thing. You're very type A. You don't have to check in. Like, if we say we're going to do something, we're going to do something.
God, it's so true. It's so true. And when it doesn't happen, like I just have this whole like moment. A couple months ago, I was speaking at a conference here in the California Dietetic Association. And normally I'm like, ting, 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 ting with deadlines. Like that part I can say, if I'm turning something in generally, you know, you just don't want to see what's behind all this. Like there's just, it's mayhem as far as organization goes, but I'm accountable and I get stuff done. And I didn't turn in my slide deck for this presentation. And I woke up in the middle of the night, like, you know, like it was one of those moments because I could not believe like I missed my deadline and, you know, wrote this big long email. I went overboard with apologies and the gal's like, don't worry about it. Can you turn it in like tomorrow or the next day? And I was like, oh man, the amount of psychic energy that went into that. And she was probably like, you're number 55 on the list of, you know, being late or whatever. But I just can't handle that kind of stuff. What we want to do, Nat, is, of course, like I said, we could talk shop with you all day long, but we want to make sure that we give you the floor, because we just did a little victory lap through your book. You know, we went through, did a spin basically through it quickly. You know, if there's anything else you want to share about the book, promote, or even beyond the book, just stuff you're doing that you want to make sure our listeners know about what you're doing. And of course, Jenny will, as we did last time, completely, you know, connect all of the dots with your socials and everything in the show notes. But anything else, you have the mic.
Well, thank you. I think the book, there, the first chapter in the book lays the groundwork of sports nutrition. So it's not just a cookbook. There is information on fueling, on carbs, protein, fat. And then, of course, there's a section about plant-based considerations for athletes. So what they need to know about iron, what they need to know about calcium, vitamin D, that kind of stuff. So I made sure that the first chapter really talked about that because I, like I said, these recipes, anyone could make them, but there are, I wanted people to realize like this is for athletes and here's how you use them. And then there are meal plans within the book too, if you're that type of person, which I feel like meal plans take a very organized person. I'm not one of them, but if you like meal plans, I put the plan, the recipes together into meal plans based on different days in a training cycle. For instance, like a strength training day, and that meal plan has more protein in it. An endurance day, like if you're doing a long run or something, and that meal plan has more carbs in it. So that kind of stuff is in there as well. So that's what I really like about the book is, and of course the recipes as well, which are delicious. And then outside of the book, I have a brand called Green Leets, which is where all this stemmed from, which is plant-based sports nutrition. So I'm trying to get better about being consistent on social media. Love it if you follow me. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
You have some great posts on Instagram for sure. That's where I catch you. And
thank you.
Yeah, I learn a lot from you. I do. It's nice. So thank you. Thank you for the work you do. Okay, so I know we've mentioned the baby, who's now more like a toddler, huh? And yes. you have another one on the way. So we were wondering how your self-care routine has changed since you had a babe, and you know, that kind of changes a lot of things.
Yes, it definitely does. I would say that I've been really good about continuing to run, which to me is self-care. So I ran until I was 33 weeks pregnant. And then afterwards, I signed up for a half marathon 5 months when I was 5 months postpartum. So I like having those kinds of goals. And that to me has been really good with getting me out the door and making me exercise. And I ran 2 half marathons postpartum. And then I got pregnant again. And like I said, I got sick. So I haven't been as good about that lately, but I'm still running during this pregnancy now that I'm feeling a bit better. And then as far as I also find cooking to be therapeutic, and I used to love it a lot. I still love it, but I'm doing more of like meal kits and like pre-chopped vegetables. To me, that's like self-care of being like, I don't have the time for this anymore. I'm going to buy the lentils already cooked. I'm not going to cook them from scratch. So, and it's funny that I'm talking about work as like self-care, but really that's why I went into this field, because I changed careers, because this is stuff I like. So I really do find those things to be self-care. And I literally only just read my second book since my baby is born, and he's 17 months old. But I used to love to read. So like I forced myself to read a book, which actually was great when I got into it. But you know, that kind of stuff, I think you just have to set aside time for yourself and make whatever you can a priority. For me, it was really the running.
I would say meal prep, all of those things absolutely are self-care. Yeah. Are you reading fiction or nonfiction?
I'm a fiction reader. I don't like nonfiction, and I will not read anything about nutrition. I always say like, I don't want to see any nutrition stuff outside of work, but I just read like a sci-fi book, fun stuff. Like that. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Great self-care.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
And I think it's always good to not hold back when you share your self-care things, because sometimes it makes you reconsider. You know, we just like we put things into boxes, like I mentioned earlier, I think self-care things either get tagged as, you know, the bubble bath only, or the this, or, you know, people have taken license with it, and it's like, it's turned into so many different things. And I think the most important thing is that it works for you, the self, and you can kind of explore those things. And believe me, when I think about waking up in the morning, and if I have my items ready, or I've done some prep, or I have lunch kits or whatever, you know, that makes my day so much better. And that qualifies, check a box, that counts, you know? And so I think what you do, Nat, that we like so much is that you are really good at taking things that might be considered more complex and for some people maybe difficult to kind of dive into, and you have a way of translating and making things very practical and doable. And whether that's in your media work or in your Instagram account, in your book now, I think that, well, in your podcast, are you still doing your pod?
I kind of put it on hold after okay. the baby was born, but we'll, at some point we'll get back into it.
Right. Well, that's smart. You know, do what you can. But I think that what that speaks to is sort of the breadth and the depth of the ways you reach people. And this book, again, we've gushed a lot and I will try to hold back, but I think that you've really knocked it out of the park here. And I feel like a lot of people are going to just be holding on to it, athletes and others, you know, holding on to it as a great resource, almost like a, you know, a compendium to help them very much in that area. So as always, it's a joy to spend some time with you. We're very, very proud of you and really excited about this work going out into the world. And, you know, you're stuck with us, girl. You're never getting out of our grip.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on. And like I said, it means a lot to me when people make the recipes. So I appreciate hearing all of these stories and the things you like. And yeah, it's, you're in your own, when you're in the media, you're in your own little bubble. You're just writing an article by yourself. You're creating a recipe by yourself. It's so nice to hear from people that they resonate with what you're putting out there. So thank you.
Well, it certainly did. So thank you.
Yep. And we'll be staying tuned for you. All your future endeavors. We're big fans. So have a great, what is today? Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think so.
Friday.
Have a great Friday. And thanks so much, Natalie.
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah. That too.
You too. Right,
thank you.
Bye, ladies.
Bye-bye.
Toni, I loved how she answered the question about what she learned about herself from writing this book. And, you know, what I kind of took from that is, of course, organization, and that, you know, it's not as difficult as she thought maybe it would be because she was so organized, which translates beautifully to behavior change. You know, if you're going to do anything different, new, you got to be organized about it. And once you get going, once you set yourself up for success, it's usually not as difficult as one thinks, you know, without that organization. So I loved that. And, you know, I just thought that was a great answer from her. So.
Well, and I think it's important to underscore at the front end, I mentioned I'm writing a class on accountability for my private practice. The second in a 1-2 punch week to week is planning. That's the second topic for week two of that session. And I think, you know, you can frame organization, planning, they sort of overlap a little and there are tools and they interchange quite a bit or interact. But I think that for a lot of people, that barrier of getting stuff done seems so daunting because maybe you think of yourself not as an organized person, as Nat did, but then putting some things in place and some structure, you might have a paradigm shift about your own self. And maybe it's because you've reframed what being organized is or being a planner looks like. It looks like what you make it look like for you. And I think that's important to remind ourselves of.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, everyone is going to look different. And, you know, some things need more organization than others. But I would say, you know, a big part of behavior change for lifestyle is meals and meal planning. And, you know, you got to be organized to do that. So, yeah.
Right. It's one of those things that, and I'm pushing back, not pushing back on you. I'm trying to appeal to listeners to not get caught on that word is what I'm trying to do, because
yes.
I know, and you know, having worked with people for decades and decades, that sometimes that's a stumbling point because how we perceive ourselves is so powerful in the context of behavior change, right? That self-talk or what have you. And it's like, if you need to really, you know, explore and interrogate what that means. And
And if you need to, really start with the smallest of small things. And that could be, just again, go back to Nat's book, whether it's Nat's cookbook or another cookbook, go in and pick out three recipes and decide you're going to try those three in the next month. That is a plan. You know, if you say each week I'm going to do it. So I know that may seem a little bit like too simplified, but
no,
I don't know, Jen, it's amazing how I've had to do this for myself in my life as behavior change, you know, it manifests in my life, but just with clients, it's just so interesting because we're such complicated little beings that sometimes we have to tease these things out, you know?
Yeah. Well, we get in our own way.
For sure. Well,
yeah. You know, the other thing that jumped out at me is what she talked about in her path, her self-care. Mm. And I think that, you know, the meal kits and the pre-chopped veg and all of that, like we tend to think of that as a cop-out and she thinks of it as self-care, which it absolutely is, you know, especially in this season of her life. So I love that she thought of that as self-care and not as a, you know, just another vehicle for beating yourself up, because a lot of people could think of it that way.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny about that, Jenny, is it's a great reminder of how morality plays into this.
Yeah.
I mean, be honest, it's incredible how judgment seeps into all of what we do and how, whether that's from outside or inside. And
yeah,
again, just noticing like, this makes my life easier. This qualifies as self-care is huge. So I'm really glad you brought that up because it's powerful. And I guarantee that some listener out there is going to go like, oh,
right.
What?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can order like a meal kit.
Yeah. It's like Wendy Neff from Foxtail, right? When she was talking about just listening to her chickens out in the backyard. Mm. Listen, self-care is just that.
And yeah, you know, to your point, it's very individualized and yeah, you got to make it your own. I love it. I love that.
The last thing, are you still got more, Miss J? I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
I was just going to say, I wanted, before we go into our music, one thing I wanted to speak to, and this just popped into my brain right now, is that, you know, the way people come to you and intersect with you, you meaning us, anyone, us, our lives, is like this gal. You know, I was reviewing a media course for the nutritionists, you know, the entrepreneurial nutrition entrepreneurs dietetic practice group. This was years ago, right?
I
was
a mouthful.
A review for that, right? And it was this big course and I felt really daunted by it. And then writing this review, and I just remember thinking like, what have I gotten myself into? Typical Tony move, right? And one of the last speakers, it was an excellent program, but one of the last speakers was this Nat Rizzo girl. And of course I was like, ooh, Rizzo, she's Italian. Let me really listen, right? Like I just...
She's my people.
And then of course, instant respect for how she handled herself, what she covered, you know, she was so professional and smart. And we bring her on the pod, you know, and then 2 years later we have her back and it's, she's part of this orbit, you know, now. And I just feel like it's a great reminder of how you never know where someone's going to come from, how they're going to pop into your world, and what may come of it. Because not only has this impacted our podcast, obviously, she's had impact on us and how.
For sure. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, without a doubt. I like that. Well, and it speaks to the power of connection and how incredibly important that is.
For sure. For sure. So fun. So fun. Okay. Yeah. Miss Jade, do you want to slide into music and then,
sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I just have one song and you know, I don't know if I've used this group before, but I do love them. and that's Arcade Fire. Ooh. But I don't know why, but, the song is No Cars Go. And it just makes me think of a marathon because, you know, they have to clear the streets and no cars can be in the streets when you're running a marathon. And I mean, it's as simple as that. It just, it's an upbeat song. It's, I think my partner Brian calls it the quintessential rock and roll song. And it is. I believe that too. But anyway, that's my song, No Cars Go. by Arcade Fire. And Arcade Fire is just a really great band. So
I'm going to explore it a little more. I know you had a different song by them and another.
Did I?
Not this one, because I'd remember that. And I'm going to go explore that. And the irony is today, Nat posted her new apartment has the view of the New York Marathon. So she was
watching it from cool. her. Oh, that's funny. I didn't see that.
It's too funny. Well, my list is way too long, but I'm going to just like let it be what it is because it's way too long. And there are several New York and sort of hip hop type songs in here. I'm only going to touch on a few, but three from Run DMC. It's Tricky, Walk This Way, and My Adidas. And again, I think for some people, it is tricky to look at sports nutrition and figure out what to do. And I think Nat says kind of walk this way. Here's some direction for you, right?
Put on your
Adidas and get running. So, and then I had More by Usher because I feel like Nat just keeps giving us more, you know, Afrojack and Eva Simmons Take Over Control, because I think something like this allows you to decide, well, what can I do to take control of my nourishment, my fueling for my movement? A Bulletproof I have by LaRue. Where Have You Been? Again, only because like I think some people are seeking out sources and inspiration. And I think Nat is that for many, many people, dietitians and lay people alike. Daryl Hall and John Oates, You Make My Dreams Come True, just because I think, again, just having a, she's dancing, you guys can't see it, but Jenny's doing a dance. People like this do, they're game changers for people.
Yeah.
And then I have The Edge of Glory by my friend Lady Gaga. Again, when you think about training and just, you know, pushing your own limits and stuff. And I just think that song is very motivational, inspirational. Higher Love like by Kygo and Whitney Houston. Come and Get It from Selena Gomez, because I do think like this is here. Come and get it. Get this book. Get connected to Nat, you know.
I like that. That's very action oriented.
Listen, I don't fool around, Jenny.
No, you do not.
And then I have a couple of songs that have to do with simple, because I think that's something Nat underscores a lot, is the simplicity of, you know, trying to keep things simple. So I have A Simple Song by Chris Stapleton and Simple Things by Teddy Swims. And then I also have What's New Scooby-Doo by A Simple Plan. Because I feel like there's always something new. There's always something new you can be excited about, you can turn to, but there's always something new too. And like the research, it can be daunting. So find someone you trust, someone that you know is working from an evidence-based standpoint. And Nat is one of those people.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
And the last one, and then I'll shut up. There's more here, but
stop.
The last one is a nod to my cauliflower that I went crazy for during the episode that is in Nat's book, The Buffalo Cauliflower. And the song is Obsessed by Addison Rae, because Jenny.
I thought it was going to be like Buffalo Soldier or something.
Right. Oh, that would have been good. Dang. This is why I need you.
You were obsessed.
I am obsessed.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of obsessed with those raspberry bars too. They're quite delicious.
We are such easy crushes, Jenny.
I know. We're too easy.
It's all right. It's better.
It is. It is.
So fun. Guys, listen, people, Jenny and I are overwhelmed because we are heading into our fifth year of doing this. We'll be celebrating that come the new year.
We are heading
full force towards, you know, on our way towards 140, which right behind that is 150 episodes. So we're moving fast.
You're a good counter.
And then I think after that might be 160, not sure. There's a lot coming. I mean, honestly, it's an embarrassment of riches. There's more coming in this, which is incredible. We want to thank you for being involved. We want to thank you for sharing us with others, for rating, reviewing, everything, you know, engaging with us.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't say much more than that, Tony. We're just so happy that y'all are on the road with us.
You, all right, Ms. J.
Listenators.
Oh, and I have the winner today. I'm going to create the post. So
nice.
Yeah. So
stay tuned.
Kind of fun stuff. All right. Other than that, we'll be coming at you again. This is our second November episode. And then we'll have one in December, I think, at least, right?
This might be our first. It's only November 5th.
Oh, what is
it? Yeah. Okay. I know.
Who's running this show?
Neither of us. That's for sure. It's clear.
I think that after 160 is 170. No.
Oh my God.
Time to sign off. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Love you lots.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye.